Chris, my fine feathered friend. I think we got this on lock here. It looks good to me. How you doing, buddy?
Feathered friend.
I don't know. I'm actually tired. I'm still battling a cold. For those of you that we missed last week's episode because of this cough that I had, I still have it. So I'm going to try my best to suppress it this episode, but I didn't want to miss a second week for a slight cough. So here we are. I'm still getting over it, but...
good.
Yeah.
Ryan decided not to be a bitch.
Well, I actually felt worse last week. Now it's just a cough, so...
Yeah, I know. How's it going? You said you're feeling better, so that's good. We actually saw each other this morning, so I feel like...
Very briefly.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to go with this. Guys, thanks for joining us. Jenna, thank you for being first. You're Oz. And Salvador.
Oz? Is that, we just say Oz now?
No. I didn't finish that word. We don't even talk full words anymore, Jenna and I now, because we're not real friends, right, Jenna? It's just Oz. But anyways, guys, thanks for joining us. John Firewire, welcome to the chat. We're gonna be talking about some of the big VR topics that kind of, I guess, hit the news this week, because I think they're important. But of course, before we jump into all those fun things, special shout out to all of our patrons. You guys are awesome. And everyone that's just here supporting the channel. So thank you very much for that, guys. We always start off the episode here with what we've been playing. And guess what I've been playing? Helldivers!
Awful.
Look,
awful.
I need to apologize to all the people who watch this show, because I'm supposed to be like the VR guy. I'm supposed to play all the VR games, and I have access to all the VR games. I mean, that sounds really, really arrogant, but I don't mean it like that. It just means I have no excuse to have not been playing games. But I will say I've been really behind trying to study for a course that I have coming up here, and it's kind of a big deal for me to get through this stupid thing. So I've been kind of laser focused on that, and the free time that I have been I've just been playing Helldivers 2. I have no excuses. You know what? I should really be pretty, like, I gotta be honest, I don't know if I can be friends with you anymore, because you don't support democracy.
I don't? How do you figure that?
Well, then you obviously don't play Helldivers, because the whole point of being a Helldiver is that you are pushing the control of Super Earth and spreading democracy everywhere we go. And you have not been doing your part, because you've been busy being a parent and playing VR games.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You need to get your shit together.
And Fallout. And in Fallout, they hate the commie reds, so don't forget that, man.
Well, I don't know. I would say that your patronage is in doubt.
Noted. I'm not going to play Helldivers.
Holy crap, Savage Gamer. You finally decided to come join. This guy got the update like 2 days late. So... holy crap, welcome. Sheepdom is Prime, thanks for joining us, buddy. Brian, you did play some VR this week.
I did. For those of you that are, you know, frequent the channel, I have a review up for Astra. It's a mixed reality game. Watched a review. It was kind of a new format for the channel, something we haven't really quite done before. So I'd love to know what you guys think about it. It was definitely more of a bullet points kind of review. I did it live. So I would love to hear your guys' feedback on that. Salvador, thank you for being a new channel supporter. That makes two, baby. Woo!
That's awesome.
And so yeah, check out Astra and let me know honestly what you think about that, the kind of looser format for that review. I'm very curious to hear if you guys like it, hate it, or whatever. But besides that, which I was playing, I also played Contractor Showdown. I only played a little bit today, unfortunately. I didn't play any before this. And for those of you that, you know, are into like Warzone style games, this really is, based on my very brief first impressions, it's Warzone in VR.
But it's not Warzone's not a battle royale.
The Warzone, it has the battle royale mode. That's what I play. It's the 4-player teams, like 60 players. Oh yeah.
It's not battle royale though, is it?
It definitely had a battle royale mode. That's like I was playing it for way too long. And it's just been a long getting time worked.
I actually played a crap out of quad, but I don't remember playing a battle royale version of it.
It was the free version because I'm cheap. But anyways, it's a 60-player battle royale experience. very similar to any battle royals you played. You're coming in on a plane. You have a team. It's all team based. You jump down. You parachute down. You pick your spot. You can place your markers down. Talk to your teammates. You start off. As far as I can tell, you start off without any kind of ammo or guns, and you have basically to like land and then just start running towards the nearest building or land on a building and start scrounging for weapons and whatnot. It's a big, relatively big map, and the longer you play, obviously the zones keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking until, you know, to curve everybody in. It's honestly, like I said, for me, it's like your typical battle royale game, but I mean that in a positive way. It's got lots of finer VR interactions, like your maps, everything's on your chest, your grenades, everything's off your chest. You have a full on backpack. You can actually place in front of you and you can drop stuff, pick stuff out. Bandage yourself. You do the old Saints and Sinners way, where you have to grab the bandage and wrap it around your wrist. Medic stuff. You can EpiPen, like the needle thing to like bring your guys back to life there. It's all here from what I can see. The biggest problem is, and I only played the Quest 3 version because the PC version got put on hold at the very last minute. This game does not look good, Chris. It does not look good at all. We'll and see. I feel like, just to, before you cut in, mm-hmm. I don't think it's optimized for the Quest 3 in any way. It doesn't feel like it. It does feel like it's just like I'm playing the Quest 2 build, because there is so much visual jank happening. It's disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted
Stim, that works, Jenna. Stim works.
I really wanted to have a review out for this. And I said to Ryan, I've been really not on my game here when it comes to the channel. So I apologize to both Ryan and all of you. I wanted to have a review for Warzone. I think it's more my military shooters. I think it's probably more my jam than Ryan's. Although you definitely dabble. I played quite a bit of Pop 1. And so that's, to me, that's the direct comparison. I feel like that's the biggest player base I think that this is going to be competing. I'm curious to see how this just pulls from like other military shooters, like Contractors, like Standard. And because I feel like it still has very much a place, because this is not a replace. It's not a sequel. This is
it's a standalone battle royale experience. It's a
different beast, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like your battle royale fans are going to be the ones that are going to be going for this. And so Pop 1 is especially on Quest, is like, that's the game.
Yeah.
And it is free to play. And so I'm sure we'll see people bitching about the fact that they think Showdown should be free to play. I don't. I think free to play just becomes a race to the bottom and brings in a lot more people, like griefers, who just want to screw around, right? So, I mean, that's not a thing that I want to see happen, but what I was going with this is that the reason I didn't have any coverage of this, have anything up on the channel, is because I was waiting for the Steam VR version, and we kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and we've had access to the Quest version for, I don't know, at least a week. And
well, it's been way longer than that. The beta's going on forever before this.
But I didn't want to do any type of a review on something that was still in beta. I mean, I didn't think that was fair to viewers or the dev. And you know what? And for them to just literally last minute, we got an email saying, sorry, guys. Because even on the Steam site, as of last night, they just said like first quarter 2024. And it's like, I was like, is this even coming? I kept looking and looking and looking, and there was nothing denying that it was coming to Steam. So I was really disappointed with that. And you know what? I was thinking today, I'm like, you know, I just feel like Contractors is like the Battle Royale version is just exactly what we were talking about in over the past couple of episodes of like, yeah, I mean, I get it. For a game that's trying to lock a 60-person lobby down, you almost need the Quest numbers. But it's just a game that shouldn't be on the Quest. Like, graphically, you know, even Pop 1 being very cartoony struggles on Quest, but they get it done. It's actually not bad. I mean, it looks like a game that was designed with the Quest at the forefront. And Contractors, like, doesn't, you know? Like, it's still going for that realistic military look, and I thought Contractors was pretty solid on Quest 2, to be honest with you. I think it looked better than Onward, and it looked pretty good, but you could see all the shortcuts. But now to like be parachuting into a big giant open world, I'm just like, oh my god. I saw some of the quest footage and I was just like, I gotta wait for the Steam version.
The pop-in or is PSVR
2. I mean, they've said it's coming to PSVR 2 later this year.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's kind of exciting. I mean, I will say, like, from what I played, the gameplay is here and it's solid and the gameplay is fine. It's the nonstop visual jank, and it's popping on the Quest 3. It's the huge, it's the foveated rendering, but it's painfully close. Like, you can see, you constantly see that's the hard line where it just doesn't render things in nearly as high as resolution.
Yeah.
Like, so much popping. Environments like the land, where as you get close to land, actually like lifts and moves up as you get to approach it. Like, there's,
it's struggling. Like,
it's struggling hard
away with it. And like I said, it's just kind of like, ah, it's so frustrating. I want to push you a little more and ask you a few more questions about the game.
I can try.
But I got into a conversation last night that I didn't mean to, about just like what we were talking about in the last episode. And I understand that it's a divisive topic around whether developers should stay in their lane. That was the topic, right? And somebody posted a video in a Facebook group yesterday on Facebook. In a Quest group on Facebook. I don't think I said that right. And it was like a new, like, kind of virtual flying sim. And it looked very much like it was kind of like going after warplanes, but with modern tech. And I made a comment. I was just like, ugh. I couldn't help it. I was just, as I looked at the trailer, I was like, oh God, this looks so Questy. Like, and I don't mean that to shit on that. I love my Quest 3. Like, I'll always say, Ryan, I'm quoting you, I think it's the greatest quote, is I love my Quest for everything it can do, and I hate it for everything it can't do. That's how I feel about it. And I made a comment. I just said, you know, I really think this needs to not be on Quest. And I made a comment. I said, like, I just think developers need to, I said, developers need to stay in their lane. Guess who posted the video? It happened to be the developer. And he had some comments. He was totally respectful. I'm not saying he wasn't, and he was like, oh, thank you so much. You know, we'll just try to make our game better. Okay. And I just said to him, I just think that this game, it's like, I'm looking at it and it's ugly. And I would love to see this game fully realized. It's not going to happen on the current hardware. And anyways, I just was really disappointed to see this game. And him and I kind of went a little bit back and forth, and I tried to push my thoughts around the fact that I said, I just think it brings down the VR industry if people from the outside looking in see this game and go, I guess that's what VR is right now. That's where we're at.
And that's kind of the thing, is, like you said, obviously having been in the space and being well aware of what the Quest can't do, I'm still disappointed by what was on display. Like I said, the gameplay itself was solid. Everything kind of ran smooth in regards to, I never had any kind of like latency issues, that kind of thing. It ran good. It's just the cost of it running good was just a lot of, like I said, a lot of popping, or just that fade in effects on trees and whatnot. And then, and like I said, it compares to me so much to the Battle Royale, we'll say the Battle Royale mode in Warzone. Like, it felt like, honestly, like I was playing Call of Duty in VR. It just didn't look like it. And to me, that's kind of where, like as far as for Quest gamers, I think Quest gamers at this point in time will probably be okay with this, just because, I mean, honestly, they're used to it, right? This is not like this is the first game we've seen that's just stripped back and relatively barren. Not barren is the right word. I mean, the maps are, it's a big map. There's lots of stuff in the map, but it's still, like I said, it looks Questy. The thing is that if I were to say this is Warzone Battle Royale in VR, and then I take a non-VR player and I put them in there, I mean, there's not only is like the leap to VR too, like, so the VR thing, there's a lot of VR controls as well. Stuff like just grabbing your vest and doing things and coming up to consoles and using your laser pointer. There's just a lot of different stuff that I think once you get used to, it's fine. It'll be more immersive once you get used to it. But as far as initial impressions go, I was like, this is kind of a lot. This is actually a lot to throw at me in one go. And the tutorial didn't really do a great job of explaining all the aspects of the game. Luckily, my first game in here, I was with a guy who'd played it or been playing probably for a while, though. He's in the beta. He was giving me tons of tips and stuff. Tips that the game doesn't even tell you to do, which it honestly should, because they're actually some pretty decent little tips. But it comes back to the fact that, yeah, I wish I could have played this on the PC version just to see how much better it could be. As far as if you are looking for a battle royale game for the Quest and you are a Quest owner, from what I played, this is actually legit. Like, this is no joke, it really did capture the feel. You could see guys walking a mile away. So whatever it's doing to the environment, you could still see, you know, enemy players.
The priorities were.
Yeah. And like I said, everything in here works. This is the one thing I'll say. Everything in here works. And it felt great. I mean, unfortunately, the game I played was very little action. It was mostly running around, staying in the circle until I eventually died.
Did you have a full 60 lobby?
Yep. And we didn't see. We saw a couple guys at the end, right when I died. So I mean, then that happened in Warzone as well. So I'm not crapping on the game for that, because that happened in Call of Duty all the time. You spend 10 minutes just kind of wandering the landscape because no one's by you. But I don't want to ramble on for too long. But basically, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a battle royale game, this is very, very comparable to Pop 1. Only it has the scale of Call of Duty, and it has all those mechanics in place, plus a bunch of VR interactions that just kind of make it cool. It's just visual jack.
And if it plays like Contractors, which I imagine it does, and I've played a lot of Contractors, it's more military sim than Pop 1. You know how Pop 1
did. That's like, what I meant. Yeah.
Pop 1 has like almost a half reload, right? Where it like kind of goes yellow and you kind of got to put it, you just kind of go like this and go like that. And they've made a lot of concessions to kind of keep it like super accessible. And it has a slight goofiness to it, obviously, that it looks like this, you know, I'm going to guess this doesn't. So, I mean, I'm all in on it. I think it's awesome. Like, I understand, like, it's like, I can't have my cake and eat it too with the current VR scene right now. I feel like even if they drop this on PC and PSVR 2 day one, and say drop the Quest version a little bit later, they would struggle to hit their numbers, I think, of 60 player lobbies. They just would. I'm sorry to say it. Even then, I think they're going to have 60s a lot. Like, a lot of Pop 1 lobbies don't fill up either. I think in the early days, it's going to be a lot easier, but we'll see what kind of legs it has on it.
Like I said, both games I played, I lost my signal, but both games had full lobbies, 60
players. We're talking launch day too, right? So, yeah. I mean, it better be. What I'm saying is I understand that, like, with a game like this, where it's a numbers game too, I mean, all multiplayer is, but this really is, because now you're trying to fill big lobbies. I get it. Fine. But again, like you made me think of it when you're like, well, it's kind of Warzone. Well, it's so frustrating, because I really want people who are not in VR to get excited about VR. This is actually what me and the developer got into. He said, well, he's like, we don't want to make, as I said, that like, this does, you know, more harm to the VR industry, releasing these games that kind of look very questy. They're not enticing people outside of VR. And he's kind of like, well, we don't care about the people who don't know what they want. That's what he said. Basically, people who have decided that they don't want VR, they don't care about. And I was kind of like, well, but that's kind of the whole point, is we're trying for bigger adoption rates. And we need to, fine, if you've got VR gamers there's a lot of people who are just going to buy anything that hits the Quest or PSVR2 store or whatever, right? We're VR gamers. We're horrors with that. But it's all the other people. And a game like this, like Contractors, it's kind of like, yeah, this is a game that's good enough based on the original Contractors to scoop up some COD players. But man, I wish what they were seeing first was the PC version. Because if you look at some of the trailer footage, that's totally not the Quest version.
Mm-hmm. No, and totally. Like I said, it's
misleading. I don't know. It's a tough one.
That's VR, man.
Where we're at. And I don't want to bitch about this every episode.
No, neither do I. I definitely want to shut this down.
But it is frustrating. I'm just saying, it's a frustrating experience. Because it's a game I would have loved to have played at launch full on.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
We'll see how it goes.
It's our current situation. I mean, it kind of lends us to what we're going to talk about in the episode. But
so before we get to that, Savage Gamer put out here that Doctor Who just released this week for PSVR2, like Edge of Time or whatever it's called. And he said in here that there's no enhancements compared to the PSVR1 version, and that it just has thumbsticks now, so you can turn. And he said there's no upgrade path. There actually is an upgrade path, Savage Gamer. I have to dig up the email. It was on a post they posted. Basically, if you email them and email them with your PSN number, they'll give you a free upgrade to the game. It's my understanding. The Maze Theory is the one that put that out there. So if you dig through their tweets or dig through, it's there. They will apparently somehow give you a free update, but you have to contact them, which I've never heard of before, but they're putting it out there. So it's that. That being said, the game is only $10 for the PSVR 2 version. So they did actually price it good, considering it is like a 4-year-old game now.
Yeah.
That it's being like said,
price of an upgrade that a lot of guys are charging.
Yeah. Right. So, but except he said though, there's no upgrade here. It's just thumbsticks. So I'm not sure what the haptics are. I saw Savage say that. I just want to say that Mace Theory did seem to put out there that there is a way to get the game for free if you purchase it for PSVR 1. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. What a way to make it easy for you to upgrade though. Email us. In other words, just pay the $10. you know, we got to give you enough hoops, to jump through anyways. That's unfortunate. I guess jumping into the topic today, it's kind of a 3-part topic. I guess first things first, before we get into the meat and potatoes of it, is the Apple situation. You guys have been paying attention. I mean, I guess we could take this with a grain of salt because that's what we said about the PSVR 2 statements as well, but that Apple was, I think these were coming from more credible sources than Bloomberg, that Apple was adjusting their production rates, cutting them in half, basically.
Yeah.
And that they weren't seeing, their low expectations were not being met already because they already knew that this headset was priced for the elite. But what I was reading, this one article said that, they're like, even the elite, they're like, outside of influencers and media and people who are in the tech industry and kind of stuff like that, they're like, a lot of people just didn't care. Like, it was neat. And even people who bought it returned it. I heard there was quite a higher attrition rate of people returning these. So that's not good. I mean, I remember I said to you, like I said this like a year ago, I said that my problem with Apple getting in with a headset this expensive is that if it doesn't sell, which it's not going to sell at that price point, it looks like Apple failed in VR.
Yeah.
And the rumor is that they're reconsidering the I don't know what you want to call it, the more consumer friendly version that they were talking about, you know, with more consumer friendly pricing.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say based on the report, this is not from Apple, so once again, grain of salt this, but by all accounts, this thing didn't sell even to their minimum expectations. They've scaled back the production, and by all accounts, they're definitely reassessing the Vision Pro and whatever it happens after in the coming years, not just this year, but next year as well. It's not shocking news by any stretch. I mean, we heard the stories, like you said, of people, you know, they had a 14-day return policy on these things, like with no issues whatsoever. And we heard that there was a lot of people returning their Vision Pros on day 14, having had their time with it. And it goes to the fact that, you know, from what we've seen, they just haven't really released much that has garnered any attention. I mean, if you buy a Vision Pro, what do you get? I mean, honestly, I haven't seen anything since the launch to entice me to buy this thing. It's still like what you got out of the box, 2 months ago, a month ago, whatever, like however long it was, 2 months ago. It's still what you get now. Like there hasn't been anything of note released in that time to sweeten that pot. So it almost feels like you're buying like the developer version of, it's like buying Microsoft's, what was their mixed reality headset they were selling there for a while? They never went to market actually, but their Microsoft, oh, come on, Ryan, you can do this. Playing the Minecraft on the table and that kind of stuff.
Oh, you're talking about their HoloLens?
The HoloLens. And they ended up, you could buy a HoloLens.
You're right. There's definitely some HoloLens vibes to this thing for sure.
Yeah, this feels like a huge giant tech demo that just kind of went to market. But there's no support because who the heck is going to develop anything for this that's not funded by Apple? I mean, there's probably less Apple Vision Pro owners than there is PSVR 2 owners. That's a pretty easy number. And we're already, we're hearing people already say that, they're not developing for that first because there just isn't enough. There's enough of a user base on the PSVR 2 to develop anything for it, let alone Vision Pro, which has even a small user base. Like, you have to justify your money for that. And I'm not sure who's funding Apple Vision Pro apps. Unless they're easy ports, nothing's coming out for that headset. Despite the fact, obviously, or minus the fact that it doesn't even play games or traditional VR games in the first place. It's just, like I said, this thing not being the success that it was never going to be it's not surprising, but it still doesn't make for good VR headlines for VR.
That's what that was my fear like a year ago and leading up to this. I said I'm really worried about it because the optics won't be good, and I don't know. It's like $3,500 for a headset that does like very specific things. Like it's a niche market with an even nichier headset being very focused on mixed reality. And, you know, Meta tried their best to kind of come out and go, why are you going to spend it on that when we can do most of what they can do? I mean, it's not as good, right? But it definitely, I mean, I think deterred some people. Like at least is it $3,000 better than a Quest 3? Because that's really what it came down to. And it's not $3,000 better for most people. Like, as far, like, I don't care what your value proposition is there. I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. But it's not good. It's not a good look. I don't like seeing these headlines, especially on top of the PSVR2 headlines. And like I said, like, if Apple is seen to fail in VR, that's going to be... that's going to be a blow to the industry.
And I don't think this is going to be looked at as a fail,
if they decide not to bring the follow-up headset out, though, I think it will.
But it doesn't sound like that's the case. It sounds like I think they're still committed to this path. It's very much, I think they're kind of like metaing this, where they're just going to keep powering through. It's just they're Apple and we'll see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like I said, it's not them. It's a report. It's not surprising. Like I said, this isn't shocking news. It sucks. It's news that's come out so quick, I guess, after release, because we definitely didn't hear this stuff 2 months after PlayStation VR's release. But they're not quite comparable. We are comparing apples and oranges, but it's still, like I said, it's not the best look for VR, XR, whatever you want to call it, if Apple can't, you know, dent it. But at the same time, everyone and their dog knows why. It's not like this is like, what? Like Apple, no one's buying these things. Like, you know, yeah. They price themselves out of the current market, but that doesn't mean gaming press still won't cover this in a negative way just because it's what you can do. I mean, it's negatives get clicks. So.
Yeah. Just to note there, I saw it in chat there just briefly to touch on this flat to VR stuff. Someone asked about MudRunner being announced, and that they think that that was a flat to VR game. And as far as I can tell, and as I'd never heard anything about that, that's not the case. It's coming straight from the developer, which is Saber Interactive. So
yeah, I think Impact is doing the PR for that, but I think that's about it. I think
Impact was doing the PR for that. Okay.
Yeah.
I could see where the confusion would be with that.
But Impact seems to be getting a lot of games. They're doing a lot of PR right now, so I could see where the confusion might lie, yeah. But they are once again
Impact involved with the flat to VR thing. Yeah. So I could see that. I mean, the reason I wanted to bring up MudRunner.
Yeah, I'm wrong about that anyways. It's not Impact.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you're wrong and I'm right. you know what? I mean, MudRunner, again, not to beat a dead horse, but I had actually said that MudRunner and Wreckfest in our last episode that we talked about, where pretty much anything in a cockpit would be great as a port to VR. And I had said that I thought Wreckfest and MudRunner as a series would be two games that I wouldn't want to see actually done in VR, because being in the cockpit with both games is just not a good experience. Like you need to see the car.
No, I disagree.
And you haven't played MudRunner, have you?
No, God no.
So I've got a lot of hours in SnowRunner and MudRunner and in Expeditions, the new one. And I mean, you have to see what your vehicle is doing on the outside, because you need to see what your wheels are doing. It's all about like deep mud bogging, and it's just like this slow, grindy game. You're basically MudRunner. You're basically a delivery person, and you're doing like big heavy truck deliveries, and you're taking little trucks and scouting out these environments. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm like kind of really excited about this coming to VR, but again, it's like, oh, really? Quest only. It's like another open world game. And this game's got some like pretty major physics going. Like it runs on the Switch. It does not look good on the Switch. And I'm going to guess it's probably a Switch port. That would make the most sense, because they probably optimized the crap out of it to get it to run on Switch. But Kiwi, I really like Expeditions. It's much more of an exploration game than the other games. So I can't get into too much or I'll get beat down by Ryan here. But anyway, I digress. Mud Runner coming to Quest. Yay! I'm excited to play it.
But there's always the hope that these things will be better than they are. But
the trailer looks good. The trailer looks cool. And it looks like there's a lot of interactions, like stuff I wasn't expecting. Like, you know, in the core game, you drive up to a vehicle and you're like, yeah, okay, so I'm going to, like, I need to pull this vehicle out of the mud. So you just attach your winch and you kind of, it looks like this actually has you out of the truck. That could be really irritating, though, as well. Getting in and out of the truck, opening and closing the door, taking the hitch. It could start to feel like a lot of work. So that could be a downside. I don't know. I'm kind of excited. Kiwi.
IGN is a VR channel?
What are you talking about?
I'm looking at the MudRunner trailer, and yeah. The first thing that popped up is IGN VR.
I think I kind of knew that.
And it has 127,000 subscribers.
Well, you know. Yay, IGN.
Just a side note there. IGN has a VR channel, which I'm sure is just loaded with tons of VR content and not just a few trailers. Let's have a look.
Well, Savage Gamer, we can neither confirm or deny anything about what you're asking. Let's just leave it at that. We might know something.
Keep can't your say eyes anything. Open. We can't say keep a damn thing.
Open. Keep your eyes open. That's all I'm saying. We should be getting some information at some point.
For the record, the IGN VR channel is just trailers. Oh no, they have like one gameplay video, a 2-minute long gameplay video. I mean, if you're gonna leave this channel, don't go to IGN, I guess. Boo. That's
so terrible. Anyways, jumping into our main topic here, we kind of wanted to talk about, I mean, Apple, yeah, that's a thing. So I feel like there's nothing more to talk about there.
No, nope, we're good.
Now, what I think is interesting is, as Apple is struggling a little bit with their spatial computing headset, and taking that from someone in chat there, he's like, they didn't fail in VR, they failed in spatial computing. So this it's not true. An issue.
This is true.
Differentiating yourselves, Apple. I wanted to talk a couple of things, and we'll just jump back and forth between them, Ryan, because I think they're kind of related.
No, Meta. Take the lead here. You've done way more research than I have, so.
Well, if you guys have been paying attention at all, Meta announced today, or not today, sorry, a couple days ago, that they are going to be launching their new Horizon OS. It's basically like, the thumbnail, I mean, obviously, I was having a little bit of fun with this, but I really do see this as a Meta move to be like an Android type of situation where Android, you know, is on a bunch of different, like, it's the standard for a majority of phone manufacturers as an operating system. My understanding, I think that Android was running a lot of the Quest headsets, wasn't it? Especially back.
Oh yeah, it's still an Android OS at the core of that thing. Yeah. You know? Oh yeah.
But I mean, on top of that though, so they've got this Horizon OS and what they're saying with this is that, the idea is that they would bring in select partners that they will build third-party headsets and they will be running Horizon OS. So they'll basically be running the operating system. Like, I mean, some version of what we use today now on the Quest 2 and 3. And that'll also give those headset manufacturers, like I would imagine someone like Lenovo. Will it be interesting to see what, like we knew Samsung was working on a headset. It'll be interesting to see if they just adopt this, because I kind of think they'd be stupid not to, because there's some huge, I'm not sure what you think about this, but I personally see more pros than cons with this approach as far as standalone VR goes, because I feel like it could very well bring some parity across the scene, because the big takeaway from this is, yeah, it's running the same operating system, and that's good for game manufacturers, I think. Developers rather and publishers, but it also means they get the storefront, which is huge, because like I remember when we were looking at Pico, it was like, okay, but Pico has its own storefront. So developers had to make games and make modifications for the port to the Pico headset. They had to take into account like any nuances in their operating system. And I'll get into some of those details, because one of the things I did today was I took a little of a deep dive, because there was an article. I can't remember. One of the VR sites went and talked to a bunch of developers. And I was like, instead of Ryan and I just talking out of our asses about what we think this means to the industry, I've taken a lot of information here. I grabbed a lot of point of views from, they went to like five different developers, of which all of you guys would know their games. And like, for example, at Cloudhead Games, who did Pistol Whipped and stuff. And they, I'm going to tell you what they think about this. But before I get into what they think, maybe I'll let Ryan just cough. You can just
no, keep we're coughing. Good. We're good. We're good. We're good.
Anyone just listening is going to think he's doing some extracurricular activity. What do you think about this whole Meta Horizon?
I think it's inviting a ton of mess. And then there is obviously pros, which we'll get into. But I think with Lenovo, Samsung, and what whoever the third one was that they announced, Microsoft.
Oh, did they announce?
Lenovo, Samsung, and Microsoft were the partners they announced. With the biggest rumor all but confirmed is that Microsoft are releasing their own Quest 3, basically. But it'll come with an Xbox controller, right? So it's the idea here.
That's a separate thing, though.
Well, but it's still sort of. But I mean, it still comes back to my point here of, so if Lenovo, let's just say, okay, ignore that then. Lenovo, Samsung are now back in the standalone market. I'm assuming it's the standalone they'll be doing this here. Then it now, so the Quest 2, Quest 3, or whatever, just the Quest platform, the Lenovo platform, the Samsung platform, they're all running the same OS, but now we're talking about different qualities of headsets, potentially different qualities of experiences as well. Like, we're already seeing games, you know, the game's not optimized for the Quest 3 properly yet, or they're still running on the Quest 2. It creates a very messy, it goes back to the whole like Microsoft mixed reality headsets and, you know, HP having their headsets and everybody having all Samsung had their piece. It's just, there's so many headsets out there that it just creates confusion. It doesn't really help outsiders adopt VR, because they don't, now it's just like, now I don't know what to get. I understand the need for competition. But this isn't really competition if you're all using the same, if Meta's still acquiring data, or, you know, still like everyone's still playing through their store, then it's not really competition so much as just buying different standalone headsets with varying degrees of quality. And that could be higher quality headsets, depending on, you know, if it's a $1,000 Samsung headset that's just doing so much more, that's awesome and amazing. But now it's up to developers as well to develop these games for these more powerful headsets, or, you know, whether it's a higher resolution screen or whatnot. It just, to me, creates a lot of potential problems that aren't necessary. Like, VR is not going, I don't think VR is going to really grow because of this.
So I disagree with this. And I might not have agreed with you until I started to read some of these developers' comments. Now, I would say that most of them share your concern as a possibility of where it could go if not handled correctly. But the general attitude for most of these developers is that they're like, it could and should, and from what their understanding is, bring a parity and stability to the market, because they said porting is expensive, and you already have teams that have very tight margins and small teams. And this is what all these guys were saying. They're like, if they can make it so that Samsung's headset is running, like if all these headsets are running basically the same operating system and they play by a lot of the same rules and they play within a certain performance guidelines, they're like, then it should potentially make it that they could make a new Pistol Whip, for example, like Cloudhead Games, and then just port it out, and it's on the Meta Store, and it just brings a lot more accessibility. Now, what one other developer said was that they're like, the problem we're into right now is that the Quest is so dominant, especially with its storefront. That's the key thing, is the storefront, right? You pretty much got like SteamVR, Quest, and PSVR2 for storefronts. That's like all that matters right now. And he said that the problem is that the Quest is not a one-size-fits-all solution. There are people who, you know, want headsets for like very specific things, like maybe they all they do want it is for like certain like content viewing applications or 3D creation tools. Maybe people want it just as a fitness headset. And so maybe a company comes out with a headset that's really aimed at as a light, can take a lot of movement, is like, you know, doesn't feel nasty to wear with when you're sweating. Like all he was saying was that it gives the chance for other developers to come in and make different headsets for different uses, but all using the same, same basic operating system. I mean, imagine a world where the Google Play Store was like only on like one phone, you know, like the fact is that all of these phones that people use, it's like, are you running Android? Yeah. There you go. Google Play Store. I mean, even like all these like standalone Android boxes, like I have an NVIDIA Shield. It's got the Google Play Store. I mean, I really think that if it's handled correctly.
But this is where I just don't think the market is there for more standalone headsets, especially if they I just don't know if Samsung, the new Samsung XR5000 comes out and it's just a Quest 3 more or less. I guess more or less is really the key word there. I just don't know what the appeal, like, unless it does something so specific, like you say, if it's like a serious workout thing.
Some people just hate Meta too. That's probably one of the biggest things.
Fine. Except it's still Meta. Like it's if you want to like I don't know if you still need, do you still need a Meta account to access all these things? Like, is there still,
and that's a good point. I was thinking about that. I'm going to say yes.
We don't know that, but I imagine you might.
The Hookster said, what is Meta's motivation for wanting this? And from what I've been reading,
your data.
No, where did I read here?
It's market dominance.
One developer made a really good point. They said Meta and like the Quest, Meta became very much a console manufacturer in recent years. And they the more that they've gotten into the hardware side of things, and they said that this I can't remember what developer was. This was he was very articulate, and he said that this brings Meta back to a social business model, and that they could potentially own the XR world with this, and that's why, like, I mean, you got to look at Android. I mean, I feel like everybody has their fears about how this is going to work. You got to look at the Android and the Google Play Store. I mean, that I think that is the model that Meta is going after. I mean, is it kind of scary? Yeah, but it's also a really good business move, because then if they just basically have every standalone headset and even beyond standalone headsets, like wired headsets on PC running Meta's OS, yeah, I mean, they become the dominant. I mean, they already are, but they become the absolute undeniably dominant. I mean, that's how you get it in there. People think Apple's big globally. Apple's nothing compared to Android.
No, you're not wrong, except for the fact that, like, it's the install base. Like, this is all based upon future install base of these headsets. And I just don't see, as much as people maybe anti-meta or whatever, I don't think there's enough of them to like, that's not the reason why VR isn't booming right now. And so, and for Samsung, like, and you know, and I guess pricing yourself out of the market, you know, even though like the Vision Pro, which is not a great example, but it's the only one I got, it does, but people aren't buying that thing even by Apple standards. So using this OS, I just don't understand. Like, if Samsung puts out a headset, all it does is use Meta Store. Then it's like, what's the point?
Well, again, what I've been reading from most of these developers is that they really see it as being the two big pros that they see for this is you've got hardware manufacturers, like that's their thing. They make hardware. They make tech. It gives them a way to get into this industry where maybe the biggest holdup was, like, you know, because I would say the hardest thing of getting into the industry is the storefront and a proper like operating system around that. Because, you know, like a lot of these guys, they're hardware manufacturers. They don't do software. And if they can adopt this and they just get an instant storefront, and again, you've got different hardware manufacturers that maybe just look at the Quest and go, we could do a make a better Quest, make a better headset.
Yeah, but will it sell? This is what I'm saying. They can make a better Quest all they want, but if the VR market is
amateur hour. You're figuring out your tech, and hopefully you can still hear me. I will say that
hear you. Unfortunately,
can you hear me? Nod yes. Okay. What I'll just add to this is, and this was the other pro that these developers mentioned, is that more headsets means more investments into the play space.
Or more headsets sitting on shelves. And this is what I was saying I cut myself off.
I am focusing on the pros. And
I am not.
But I know you're not, right? And that's good. That's why we're having a conversation. But what this other guy said is like, you know, bigger, more big companies getting into the space means more investment. And he's like, and for developers like them, that's big. There's more opportunities. There's more people that are willing to spend some money on taking some risks. Now what's curious is like, does that mean that like, say a Samsung can they get into the game side of things and pay for an exclusive game to launch their headset? And like, can there be exclusives on, is it a modified storefront? I'm going to guess not.
I would say no as well to that one. That'd be crazy. Like I said, I just think it muddies the waters again.
But maybe it doesn't muddy the water. I mean, more headset options. But maybe it doesn't if they're all running the same operating system. Like if people just don't, like it's like when you buy a phone, if you know it's running Android, you kind of don't worry about the fact that you're going to be able to have a certain level of functionality.
Right.
You just know it's going to run, and you know you're going to get Google Play. Okay, fine, good. Like if that's how they push it. That it's running Meta OS, Meta Horizons.
I just don't know if the market's there like to warrant that. Like, I just don't see the Quest 3. Like, I just the current download market. Like, it's not like people are like, oh man, you know what I need? I need more options. Like, this isn't a conversation I hear. Is like, I need more options for standalone gaming. This Quest isn't enough. The Pico is not enough. I need more headsets with more options. It's not a thing because the market just isn't there for that. So I understand like if VR was a bigger thing, this would be a more important story, but I think right now it's more of like, it's bigger news now than what it actually will end up being. Cause I don't think too many people are going to dip their toes in the headset. And the second thing, I guess with their OS, they chose specific manufacturers for a reason. So I think I can't imagine Meta wants their OS running on garbage headsets.
No, it does. They have said select partners, partners, which is good
for sure. But so to me, I mean, I guess we don't know what the Quest 3 Lite's going to look like. But assuming they're not going to want this thing running on, like, you know, install this thing on your phone and then put your phone in a cardboard box, and you can run, you know, Horizons OS. It runs like absolute garbage.
No, it's not. But that's the point. Is it's going to that'll help get rid of the clutter. Because there is quality control in place. And here's the elephant in the room.
Meta, we're left with the same headset. We're just left with different, we know like the cost of Pangolin. We know the cost of these processor chips. Like we've already said the Quest 3 is kind of at the current technological limits of what they can pack into a headset without making it massive. So my point being is on the whether it's Samsung or Lenovo or anybody, they can only do so much with the current tech without pricing themselves out of the market to begin with.
I agree.
And then, so then that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That this becomes kind of an irrelevant story, not irrelevant, but not as big of a deal because
I think there's a big deal. And we haven't talked about it yet. There's a huge issue here. There's an elephant in the room. Meta doesn't want to make hardware anymore. I don't think they want to do hardware. I don't think I don't think they ever wanted to build the Quest. And
Samsung Quest 4.
Yeah. I mean, if we go off I wish I'd done the research on this because I didn't actually get that. That information was Daniel Kaz says Lenovo.
I see it. Asus, Lenovo, Asus, Microsoft and Microsoft
are on board. I can't see Google getting on board for at all because Google's got their own master plans and they're big enough. They don't give a shit. Samsung, I could see them getting on board. Not yet, I can't. Again, it's like,
I mean, we know they're working on standalones. They've already said everyone's.
But if, I mean, you want to talk about a mess? You cannot have Samsung getting into VR, and now they're running their own. They've got their own storefront, and now they're asking. And this is the thing: all these small indie developers, like, they're like, no, like, some of them went into a lot of detail about how much of a pain in the ass it is to port. And this is why we're seeing, this is why PSVR 2 right now seems to be kind of the ugly stepchild, is that it's just an expense and a time thing to port games and then to actually improve them too in a meaningful way. Porting is expensive, and you just cannot have all these different storefronts. And I would imagine some of these hardware manufacturers that maybe they see, you know, ways that they can come into the market and improve on the current headset. I mean, I want to see competition come in and improve on the standalone headset. And it just cannot be the Quest show.
Well, the problem is, even with that though, the Quest is selling at cost or at a loss, and no other company does that. So, like, to me, the math doesn't make sense in my head for this to work out. Like, unless Meta is actually going to get away from.
I think they want out of the headset market, and because that's not where the money's at for them, especially. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but I've been talking about this for years now. Like, don't kid yourself. Meta is in this. Zuckerberg looks at this as going, he wants to own the XR space, and they want to own it from a social media standpoint. Like, if you're going to be doing any type of business meetings, any type of one-on-one personal communication, any type of meetups, he wants it to be 100% through this. And this is how you do it. This is how he gets the data and the control. He controls the ecosystem with this
space. No, and I mean, I disagree with that at all.
And it is a solution, and I believe it. If there is a demand there, or there is a desire there for some of these manufacturers, like he just listed, like Lenovo and Asus and Microsoft, especially the Microsoft, that's an interesting.
It's Asus.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. But Microsoft's probably the most interesting takeaway there, because Microsoft and Meta seem to be getting in bed with each other. With the Game Pass and such like that. That could be if a company as big as Microsoft, especially a company that, like, you gotta wonder, is Microsoft kind of looking at Meta going, like, okay, we're gonna support you while you do for VR what we did for desktop computers. Because look at Microsoft and Windows. Like, Microsoft doesn't want to build computers. They don't give a shit. And they don't want to get into the hardware market. They've even talked about how they want to get out of Xbox. Like, they don't want to make consoles.
No, and this partnership makes sense. I mean, based upon even back when the Rift came out, the fact that all the rumors, I mean, it was confirmed years prior to Project Scorpio that the Rift was going to work with Xbox. And then the first year was like, yep, it's going to work. And then next year was like, what's-his-face was like, well, we're working on things. And third year was like, nah, it's not going to happen. Like, there was plans to have the Rift just plug into an Xbox and work. Or a Rift variant anyways. So my point being is that Microsoft and Oculus Meta have been working together in the past for other deals. So this doesn't surprise me as much, because it does feel like they are kind of like growing down a bit. And this could be kind of an apology letter from Microsoft, more of a making amends by promoting Xbox through Meta, which I think is a good idea. Of all these things that have come out of the story, the idea that Microsoft is potentially making a headset that could promote flat gaming as well as VR gaming, I think is the best news for bringing casual gamers in. And with the news, I guess, that Microsoft is releasing their own version of the Quest that only comes with a Xbox controller. So basically it lets you view stuff in VR, play your games on the big screen in VR. I'm not sure what the cost of the headset is by itself. If you remove the touch controllers,
the way I look at it, it's just a Game Pass promoted.
It seems very pricey for what that is. I think even with a reduced cost taken with the controllers, but adding an Xbox controller, it does still seem. I don't know how that a lot of gamers could justify that, but to me, I still do think that's kind of a cool idea to at least build upon, especially with, you know, failed stuff like the Kinect, and, you know, Microsoft's tried to do stuff in the past in regards, not VR, but just motion, everything else. I think there's, if you bought it, let's say a Quest 3 with a Microsoft controller. So it's still all the mixed reality stuff still works. And then you can play your Xbox games on the big screen. Like it very much feels like a weird answer to Apple Vision and what their stuff can do as far as playing on a big screen and everything else. This does kind of feel almost like Meta's and Microsoft's answer to the Vision Pro in a way, which is kind of weird now that I'm thinking about it, but it does. I
honestly don't see it as being that deep. This like the whole thing with the controller, I just look at it as just like a bundle. It's just a Microsoft bundled.
It's going to be a special headset, though. It's going to look like an actual brick, black brick on your face. Like there's an Xbox on your head instead of, yeah, you know, it's a nice curvy Quest. Now it's a big black brick.
Yeah. Hey, I love a black Quest. You know, it's interesting you mentioned kind of like all the motion controlling, because the developer of Light Brigade was actually saying that one of the things that he is, again, a lot of these developers all said, like, this could be really good, or this could be a pain in the ass. It all depends on the parity that it brings to the industry. Because what he was saying was that, like, controllers, and what did he actually refer to it as? He called it as multiple interaction paradigms. Like, he said, that would be brutal if these multiple headsets all tried... This is where you're getting at. This could be where some mess starts to show up, is that they're going to want to do some of their own stuff. So, like, of course they're going to run the... So they run Horizon OS. Okay. They get the storefront. Great. But they're going to want to do their own thing around hand tracking, gestures, like how you interact with their VR space. That's one thing they're probably going to want to put their own spin on. And he said that could be a massive pain for developers, especially if their games take advantage of any of those things. That's the big thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he said, on the flip side of that, it could bring a real parity across a very niche space. Like, he did say, like, it's inevitable that other companies are going to try to get into the standalone VR space, especially since there is money to be made there. It's inevitable. And the worst thing that could happen from what these developers, especially for a scene that is being driven by indie studios, the worst thing that could happen right now is to have multiple companies get in there and require multiple ports. Because right. He said, like, these games, he's like, they just, right, he's like, as a developer, he's like, at the end of the day, he's like, the more headsets that they can get their game to without having to, you know, go back to the drawing board to, like, you know, port it or make alterations to it, he's like, the better. He's like, so if this is the answer, he's like, that's fucking great. I understand what you're saying. This is my approach is definitely like, if it works perfectly, I'm hoping that Meta is very strict with it. Like, if you're using the operating system, I mean, there's a reason why you're buying in to that. Yeah.
I definitely agree with that.
But again, I'm just saying, in 5 years from now, we could live in a world where, like, Meta OS is Windows.
Potentially.
It's Android. I mean, I'm just like, you know, Google's making bank on Android, and Microsoft built their empire off of, like, Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And being like a business solutions and cloud computing and all the things behind the scenes. That's where Microsoft makes their money. And Meta, that's like, this is why, what do you think that Meta's telling their board of directors why they're in, like, taking losses on headsets and investing deeper and deeper into the VR scene when they don't seem to be turning a profit? That's because they're sitting there going, they're going to take over. And I'd said in the beginning, I'm pretty sure that when Meta bought Oculus, their approach was, if people aren't going to do it, we're going to do it. And so they're like, so we'll make the headsets. Fine. We'll make the headsets. And we'll make them cheap enough so that, like, everyone can buy one. Because that's how we start to get, like, apps, like, mass adoption. Now, are they at mass adoption yet? No. But they are comparative to anything else.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the only thing on the market right now, so it's tough to say. Like I said, parody is good. I understand that parody is good. The problem is that parody is not needed right now, and this is what I don't want to circle the same idea, but it's just until we see where this goes, I don't see where this is going to go. Not yet. Not right now. Not in the current VR marketplace.
Yes.
Like nothing. Like I said, the only competition that Pico's the only answer to Quest. It's not available in North America yet. Apparently, the next model of Pico should be available in North America when that releases, the Pico 5, I guess. Which I'm assuming with that company, if that doesn't sell, they'll go belly up.
Well, screw it. Well, I'm gonna mention it. I mean, when you did the review for the Pico, if you guys saw, back was it in like September, October, or something like that?
August, September, yeah. I guess something like that. Yep.
You ended up doing a bunch of content around the Pico, and some people are probably wondering what the heck we were doing Pico content for. Well, Pico approached us, and they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna bring it to North America, cover it." And I remember Ryan was like, "Yeah, okay."
No. So they said, "Do you want to cover it?" And I asked, "Is this coming to North America?"
We're Canadian channel, right?
Yeah, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, it's coming to North America. It's coming to North America." And I was like, "Can I say anything about that in my review?" And they're like, "No, not until we announce something." And so I put the review off for almost 2 months in the hopes they would announce something, and then they didn't announce anything.
That's why
you haven't seen Pico coverage on this channel, because we are a North American channel. So I had the headset. I love the headset. And one of the things I complained about was the store. So I mean, it was definitely like that's where it was lacking. So if the Pico headset had the Meta Marketplace, sure, that'd be amazing. And I'd be using the Pico over the Quest 2, maybe over the Quest 3 just because it's comfortable.
But you know why Pico probably hasn't come into North America? It was all the stuff.
Cowards.
All the stuff going on with TikTok.
Yeah, and they just announced was today that ByteDance is now they got us like TikTok has 8 months or 9 months to get out, like so
it was,
like, that's
but it was so it's TikTok and then it was I can never remember the name. They're a phone manufacturer. Do you know what I'm talking about? A Wuwa or something like that.
Weiwei, whatever it is.
That one.
Yeah.
And they were basically pulled out of stores and they were a Chinese phone manufacturer. Right? And so I'm going to guess that that's why Pico decided like, yeah, maybe our Chinese headset that's capturing data is not really not a good play right now or not a realistic play. But anyways, I mean, so yeah, Pico, you're right, is kind of like the one example we can point to that tried to really get. I mean, we've seen other companies try to get into the market. Like, you know, like we saw
Vive. Well, I know Pico's a bigger thing in Europe. I know it's not bigger than Meta. But I know there is a Pico user base there that matters, I guess, substantial, but that matters. So like Pico's not, they're not done. And Pico still releases new stuff every other week. But I mean, it is, like I said, it is a weird place to be in now, especially with ByteDance and everything else now being under this microscope. And I said, honestly, I'm surprised Pico is still. I don't know. I wish I knew more numbers about Pico as far as how many headsets and stuff out there. I just don't know about it. But it's number two. My point still stands, though, is it's number two to Meta, and it's comparison.
Is it number one in China? Because that might be all that matters.
Yeah, only because I don't think the Quest isn't sold there.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying Pico could survive maybe alone, just completely based off of that.
Myself now here.
I mean, but wouldn't it be interesting if HTC decided to take on Meta OS? Because I mean, when they've mentioned their standalone headset, the Flow, I was like, yeah, and what's your storefront? Where's your games? Like, how are you getting access to that? I don't know. That's just my feeling around that aspect of it.
All I see is low sales for Pico. And rumors that the Pico 5 was canceled.
The People's Republic does not release sales numbers. What
Pico 5, has it been canceled? Has Pico 5 reporting scrapped? This is all late 2023.
Dude,
everyone's saying rumored cancellations for Pico 5.
It's all
because of four poor sales.
It's American propaganda. It's doing gangbusters.
Anyways.
You know what? Interesting enough, though, one developer did make a comment about the fact that, like, he's like, yeah, this is fine and dandy. This whole thing is like could be really great. But he kind of said what you've said, and some people in chat have mentioned too, is that at the end of the day, he's like, it really comes down to software. Like, we still have this problem of not having marquee games.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what developer it was, but he actually made comments like he it was funny to hear a developer sound like all of us at home. And he was like, we need more Half-Life Alexes. This is a developer. And actually mentioned, although one thing I loved is he mentioned Half-Life Alex with more modern mechanics. I was like, yes, see, you acknowledge it's out of date. Excuse me. And he was just saying, like, you know, unless we get more like big bangers, you can bring more headsets. I mean, like, it's like the industry is like it's lack of growth is not because there are lack of hardware options.
But that's my point. The current market isn't really asking for more headsets. Like, even if there is a workout only headset from Lenovo, the Lenovo Fit 3000, it's just about who is buying that. And then and what sacrifices is that headset having to that you don't get with the Quest? Because the Quest is still a great workout headset. And this is just like one example, right? My point being, though, is I just don't think the demand isn't there for more niche headsets. I mean, you've seen the HTC meditation thing that, you know, that thing was called.
I'll agree with that. But again, with the idea that I think Meta wants out of the headset industry, I really think they do. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make
sense for them to stay there. And it did, but it has made sense for them up to this point because someone had to do it.
It's just the problem is, I mean, another problem, I guess, that goes on along with that, and this is a Play Store problem too, is that if your headsets can't be updated to the latest version of Horizons OS for whatever reason, whatever in there doesn't work properly, and now your headset is now running an outdated OS, and games just stop working on that thing, like lickety-split, because now you are running an old OS, where now you can't update these live service games, stuff like Contractor Showdown, now can't update their game because, or they can't update the game, but not for that headset, because now the headset's running, you know, whatever's in that headset now doesn't meet the current parameters
But you would imagine that if they're running Horizon OS, I mean, it would be a no-brainer.
Dude, I mean, your phone, but your phones age out. Like my phone, there's been games, my kid had a tablet where you can't install this game because it doesn't, you know, your phone's out of date or whatever. The point being is that the OS is eventually the OS, you can't update your OS in your phone.
Like okay. It's maxed out. You're right. That can cause more confusion where we have to keep track of more headsets and which generation they are. And if they're running like, you know, I agree with you, there'll be a communication issue. Quest will have to stop referring to their generations as like Quest 2, Quest 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like games will have to be based on something that's more universal than
models. There's the Quest New and the Quest Old. The Quest New is the newest headset. Everything else before is the Quest Old, and it won't run your games.
But you know what? What they'll probably do is they'll probably run by a branded operating system. And so you might have Horizon OS, and then when they launch a new version for the next chipsets, it gets a new name. And so there might be version 1, 2, 3 or whatever of Horizon OS, but that becomes the Quest 3's operating system as far as like that current generation of power. I mean, it's the only way they could do it is that your whatever operating system you're running in. Like, I mean, if you want to play a video game in the Google Play Store, it'll straight up tell you that you need to be running this operating system or newer to play this game. That is a way that they kind of are able to justify if your phone's going to be able to play it, because you just get locked out of certain iterations of the operating system if your phone's not powerful enough.
Yeah, but this is the, you know, the Quest 3, Quest 2 argument now, where at some point in time the Quest 2 just got another price reduction. They are still obviously trying to clear out old stock. There must be so much Quest 2 stock, because they think the price now is $200 American for a Quest 2.
Yeah, they really want to get the Quest 3. They really need to get, I think they're feeling that they need the Quest 3 light out now.
Right. But so what happens with all these headsets going out there now, all these Quest 2s, they're just, the price is so low. Like, if you're going to get a headset, get a Quest 2. Like, today, if you want a Quest, a VR headset, buy a Quest 2. They are dirt. Don't get a Quest 3. They're not worth it.
That's bad advice, because the fact that they're fire selling those things is because they want to push into
Quest 3 only. I said today, but that's where I was going with. The problem is that at some point in time down the line, they're going to be like, and this is our first Quest 3 exclusive. Once they started with the Quest 2 exclusives, that happened quick, where it was like Resident Evil, and then it was, I can't remember what else after that, and then pretty soon it was like, within 6 months, all of a sudden, it was like all Quest 2 releases, and Quest 1 was just dying, like just on the vine, barely holding on, and then it was, the Quest 1 was just left in the dust, and I would expect the exact same thing to happen with Quest 3. I just don't know when it's going to happen, but the longer they drag it out, the worse the Quest 3 looks, but...
Well.
The more happy customers, like it's
but they also hold back the gaming industry in there, and that, you got to believe there's developers saying like, when can we go Quest 3? Like,
oh, for sure.
Although what you're seeing right now too is that, like, again, we talk about small teams, small budgets, and like, I mean, Contract is a perfect example. Is that CoatSync that makes that? I can't remember now.
Contractors? No, it's Caveman Studios.
You're right. It is Caveman. Thank you. They're not, you know, they're not particularly small, but they're not big by any means. And, you know, even they make a Quest 2 version because there's probably just a drastic difference between Quest 2 and Quest 3 headsets. So their priority is the biggest player base. And then, you know, the Quest 3 maybe gets some updates down the line. Maybe they get.
I would love to know Quest 3 sales as well, because I could see those being underwhelming of everything we've just talked about.
I think it did really well in over Christmas, at least. We know that. You know,
no, the Quest 2 did really well over Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was Quest 3. So
no, the Quest 2 outsold everything at Christmas.
Hero for Love said that he thinks Meta will have to continue to build headsets in case hardware partners leave the VR market, and, you know, they'll have nothing as reference hardware. I think he makes a good point. I would say that if I'm right that Meta wants out of the hardware manufacturing, I would say that they'll probably partner with one of them in a different way. They're not just running his operating system. They're actually partner with them to make their headsets, like almost like IBM back in the day with Microsoft. Like for a while there, almost IBM and Microsoft, you almost didn't see, there was like, they're almost like synergy there between the two companies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, before it really started to split off into competitors, but running Microsoft Windows. But I digress. The fact that I see Meta doing something very similar in the fact that that becomes their manufacturer.
Yeah, potentially.
I think Microsoft did that too with their operating system for phones. Heck was it? I'm trying to remember who the heck was.
Who the heck has a Microsoft phone?
I know, but they partnered with a developer too there to make the hardware. Anyways, my brain, I can't remember who it was. But yeah, I mean, that's how I see Facebook getting around that to have security, is that they have deals in place that, so they're still making the headsets behind the scenes, kind of. They've got that security, but they're not actually having to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder where that plays in then. I mean, I guess it wouldn't matter, but I mean, as far as all their future tech, right? As far as everything they're developing, all the...
How much control they would have over that.
Right? Because now that would change things. I don't know. It's curious.
Unless they have a deal in place. But you're right. I mean, you brought up an interesting point that I don't think we would have gotten to, is that it does give Microsoft a bit of a less control. Because right now they could be... They control the whole... Like from the hardware to the software to the operating system, like they control everything. And if they want to bully their way through the industry, like they have, like, you know, Quest 1, 2, 3 within this small time period, if they want to bang out a Quest 4, it's like all of a sudden, do they have to see if everybody's on board?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's
because it's not just an update of the operating system. They need to know if they're willing to adopt the new chipsets. And I'll give you that. That's where it starts to get messy. I'll give you that one. That one starts to, that gives me a headache thinking about what that could possibly mean.
And my understanding too is, like I said, like they're not like the Quest 3 lights the next headset, but But if my understanding is 2026, I think is their next headset after that. So I don't think there's planning for a headset next year, but 2026, there's another headset for Meta coming.
Yeah.
They haven't said what it is.
Quest 4.
It's like, what else could it be? Like, you know, you have a Quest 3, you have a Quest Lite. You can't release a Quest 3 Pro. Like, this is just, it's too much too soon. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's, I mean, we saw the Quest Pro. I mean, the Quest Pro was a failure by all accounts.
Yeah, I would say it's either a Quest 4 or it's another stab at the Pro, like a different standpoint. But again, like, I mean, Apple's going after a similar demographic of people who want to use it as like virtual offices and, you know, virtual meeting rooms and content.
Which, once again, I just don't like. And also, I see a lot of talk about that all the time as far as virtual spaces. I don't know, like, who actually uses these headsets for those purposes? Like, which guy is like, yeah, I'm developing my game in VR now. Just has like, you know, the Vision Pro where they have like 30 monitors going at the same time. I just, like, I know it can do these things. I know this is a doable thing. I don't know who's doing it. I can go all the way back to the Quest 2 there when that leaked memo, when all the, everybody internally was supposed to be using the Quest 2 for all like their meetings and that and whatnot. Yeah. And all their headsets were sitting in a box because they're like, no one wants to work in VR. This is not, the tech's not there yet.
Now, I mean, some of the stuff that Apple and Meta are both doing with avatars is pretty cool. So, I mean, that's
pretty, for sure.
It's pretty neat. Where it makes a lot of sense to me is anything where a virtual, like where a Zoom meeting, you know, would be necessary. Like if I'm a company, I could see a company enforcing headset usage for virtual meetings, you know, instead of flying somebody across the country. If they felt like an in-person meeting was important and face-to-face was important and not just over a desktop, like if they felt like, I don't know. But again, it's like, where's the line there? Like, is being in person the key? Because, I mean, I don't know. At what point do they feel that a virtual meeting now takes the place of person to person for businesses? I don't know. You're right. I mean, me personally, as much as I love VR, I mean, before I switched careers, I used to be an office guy, and I don't want to wear a headset on top of 8 hours sitting at a desk. I already don't want to be sitting at a desk and a computer, and now I have to wear a headset too. And I feel like a weird disconnect from my keyboard because I'm like, as good as the pastor is, it's still feeling a little bit of a disconnect.
I mean,
like,
Meta's been pushing that for years, man.
I mean, I believe it was Eric for President that posted a week ago or something on X. He's like, that he really doesn't see.
Don't call it X. Everyone still calls it Twitter.
I am not going to call it formerly Twitter.
No, everyone calls it Twitter still. It's
Twitter.
I'm
making the move. I'm making the jump.
Don't do it.
Email. Musk
you're
told
an
me.
You're an Elon supporter. I see what's happening here.
He told me. yeah. And anyways, Eric was saying that he doesn't really see any, I believe, if I'm misquoting Eric, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure he was saying that he didn't see any real shift in as far as like, you know, business adoption and like the kind of the market that Apple's going after until they're like glass. Until we're packing them into something like smart glasses. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I mean, I don't necessarily completely disagree as far as like mass adoption in the office. Yeah, probably. But,
man, your audio is cutting out again. I mean, you know what? Next episode, I want to hang up this Discord call and then restart it and see if that fixes our problem. I feel like that's all it would take. It would just be like just a resetting of this thing because it's always at the hour mark. It always is the same thing. I know we're troubleshooting live here, but I just feel like that's the easiest fix. It's just crazy how consistent this is.
Yeah, I know. They're definitely throttling us.
It's clearly, the Virtual Boys is a 1 hour podcast. So says Discord.
Well, let's move into the last point here then. And that is, the idea that they want that Meta is going to be phasing out the barriers of App Lab, so they're dropping. They're going to drop the walls down, and it said so. It's going to be done in phases. If anyone's been paying attention, and that so it won't be all, so I guess the first step is going to be that you will, what the heck was it now, that you'll be able to what the heck was it now, I can't remember. I think the first thing is you'll be able to see AppLab games in the main store, kind of, but they'll be they would be, but they'll be completely in their own section. You like, you maybe you'll be able to toggle between the two stores, but you will not, you'll no longer have to like know the game and search it exactly to find it. Like, I mean, it was, they really did hide it.
Good. And then, that's good. This is good.
Right. But the final form is that AppLab games will just be in the store and just be designated by an AppLab icon. Like almost like how Steam just says it's
early access.
And it's just all one big happy shit show.
And that's the thing, is I definitely am happy with that, because there's so many games in AppLab that deserve attention. Games that have made a big deal, that have sold so well in AppLab that they've come to the main store. And it's a big deal. It's always a big deal when some of these developers are like, we're finally going to the main store, because it's not just, you can't just buy your way into the or the Meta store. Meta approves every single thing that goes in there, and there's a reason why there's the AppLab and the regular store. And developers go to AppLab when their game gets denied for the regular store. And we saw that all the way back with what was that parkour game that we all really liked there? PlayStation had it, Quest had it. It was one of the bigger games on PlayStation. Where you just use your jump. It's not Stride. It was before Stride.
Yeah. It was To the Top.
To the Top. And when To the Top came to the Quest 1, Meta shut them down. They said, no, your game's not good enough to be on our main store. And this was a game that was like, you know, on so many game of the year lists, not the top, or not the game, but it was up there. I mean, for some people, it was the game of the year, I guess, really. But it was a solid, solid, fun, fantastic use of VR. And Meta was like, nope, sorry. And they had to go to AppLab. And so my point being is that despite AppLab kind of being the dumping ground for a lot of not so great games, there are some absolute gems in there that make it to lists. I mean, there's so many lists out there of the best games in AppLab or the best whatever. But like I said, you have, in order to find it, you have to actually search and get every letter right in that name of that game, or it will not show up in your searches. So it becomes very difficult to find these good games, especially when we're clamoring for good, for solid VR experiences. To hide these things in AppLab, I've never been happy with that. So the idea to search it, I like
it. But it's complicated. Okay, so for every like one solid game in your AppLab, there's like 30 trash games that aren't
ready.
How
dare you?
I'm sorry, but they are. And so curation becomes the problem, because no one wants to see this end up like, you and I were talking earlier, like Steam VR, but more, I would say actually the Switch store. The Switch store is absolutely like just run over by indies, and a lot of shit indies, a little bunch of nindies, right? And it is so hard to find the good games. I mean, literally you can have a triple A, like you can have like one of like a new Mario game, and it's like just in amongst like just garbage. Like it's been a while actually since I've been on the Switch store, but I don't think it's changed much. And like you could go like top selling, and that was about it. You could do like alphabetical or by price, but it was just like no curation, just and Steam's got a lot more like tabs and ways you can look at things, but like still you go to VR and it's just like,
oh yeah,
you know, and it's just there's so much garbage. And the way I see it is it comes down to curation versus organic discovery. And that's there's a fine line there. Like, I mean, right now, if you have a PC, you could just go to SideQuest. Screw AppLab. Just go to SideQuest. And there's your storefront. You could peruse everything there. And you could argue that SideQuest is curated better, at least for that world of indies.
Yeah.
It's got a lot more the ways you can like sort it and organize it and find by genres. So that would be sweet if it's not good for SideQuest. I mean, SideQuest has a lot of side loading and stuff. There's a lot of neat things you can do with SideQuest. I don't see it going anywhere, but as far as its storefront goes, as Meta transitions into, a lot more transparency with their, I don't even know what you call them, in development titles. Here, bottom line is it's going to come down to curation. That's where I'm going with this. But the reason I say curation versus organic discovery is that, like, it's fun to go through a store and find things and find hidden gems. So you don't want to make it so curated that only the top selling stuff is still, like, easier to find. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you still want to be able to find the hidden gem. Yeah. Because they could open up the App Lab floodgates, but then still curate it so tightly that you're still, you know, like right now.
That's been the complaint with the main store as it
is. That's what I mean. Like, store, you got like 10 or 15 titles, and that's it. Like, it's like Netflix in some ways, where you just have your tiers, but you can't. It's so hard to just see the library.
Yeah, and that will be a problem with App Lab, because I mean, I have no idea how big App Lab is, because you can't.
Well, SideQuest. Go to SideQuest. I mean, you can. Yeah, I don't. So. What I don't know is, because for a while there was SideQuest and then there were App Lab games.
Yeah,
like they were both, and I don't really know how, to be honest with you, how much that's really.
I think changed. They are still. But there's a lot of still both on there until something comes to the official meta store. I think like the app, I think they're allowed to be an App Lab and SideQuest, because I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if I'm an indie developer and I don't have, and I can't get to the main storefront, I haven't gotten approval. I don't know why you go like App Lab versus being just on SideQuest, because originally it was just SideQuest. There was no App Lab. And then they kind of dip their toe, and there's App Lab, and only only App Lab games can be seen inside the meta storefront if you know what to search for. So is it like the top tier of the early access titles or App Lab titles? Is there still some quality control there? And if a game's just jank and broken, it could still exist on SideQuest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the case. But I don't know.
I bet you there's also fees attached to just being on App Lab, or even being like that in App Lab that aren't on SideQuest. Like I'm sure SideQuest is like a next to free model in regards to getting a game on there.
Well, my understanding is that I was one of the developers, again, back to that original article that I was reading from, said that it's 30% of your profit to be on the. To be on the meta store.
that's every store.
The main store, right?
Yeah, that's Steam Play. That's like the general fee for every single storefront.
Now, what this one developer said he's a little concerned with is that when Meta opens up the floodgates and App Lab's just in there with everything else, curation's going to become so important that Meta's going to have developers a bit by the balls. In that he's afraid that Meta is going to start charging them for visibility, because it sounds like they're not doing that yet. But as you have way more content now, trying to like struggle to be visible, he said that's probably what Meta is going to do. I mean, it's another method of making profit too, and some developers may request it too, because otherwise they just can't get seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there's only so much curation you can do.
No, that's true. It's gonna be it'll be messy, but I think I'm
excited about it, because especially for you guys, like a lot of the mixed reality gems, like I was talking about, like Figman and like Trackcraft, and some of the I think the most exciting games to screw around with in the mixed reality side of things, they're all App Lab.
Yeah, even the stuff that uses like your, I guess, kind of same thing. Never mixed reality. Never mind. Keep talking.
Yeah. So you know, like, I mean, that I'm really excited about that, especially from a mixed reality standpoint. A lot of the really unique, innovative stuff is still sitting in App Lab. It's funny because I hate early access Steam. I despise it. I wish these games would just come out when they're ready. And so I don't want to see that either. And I mean, and that technically is what App Lab is, but a lot of those games are also like just mostly finished. I mean, I think a lot of times on PSVR, especially on PSVR 1, I know we got games, tons of games, lots of games, and we still see it on PSVR 2 that are early access on Steam, but being released as finished games on PlayStation, because PlayStation has no way to curate that. And
no, we saw especially towards the tail end of PSVR1's life, like Stride. I mean, Stride was released for PSVR1 and then just stopped getting content, right? Like you saw that as well. Yeah, you're not wrong though. The last thing you want to see is this thing just turn into a massive early access store, and that's where these games just sit, because you see that too, where games just sit in early access forever. So if a game's just sitting in App Lab forever, and it's just these promises are not being delivered, or this game is half finished or whatever, that's trouble. That being said, I've never played an App Lab. Well, that's not true. I lied. I just played the Titanic game, and that was unfinished.
Here's what I don't want to see, and I'll leave it at that for our conversation, because right now it's all hypothetical until we see what they execute. I am really, really, really do not want to see the new release tab if it's not curated, because it's going to be inundated. This is what happens with Nintendo.
For sure.
Nintendo's main storefront is basically what new releases are, and it's just going to be, I mean, all these storefronts have the problem. Sony has the same problem too. Like you can literally see AAA titles just mixed in there, and like it's hard to find sometimes. Sony does quite a bit of curation to try to make like games pop throughout the store, but it's just, I mean, they open up the floodgates and oh my God.
Yeah.
Everyone and their dog's got a VR title out and damn. Like, I mean, because even in the indie scene, you know, games like, you know, Honor and Duty D-Day, it's like, you know, those games need to be seen ahead of a lot of other games. You know what I mean? Like in your App Lab scene, there's certain games there that need to be curated. Like they need to be seen too. They need to ride. So I'm really hoping that I'm gonna hope that Meta, because Meta has always tried to keep App Lab separate, means that they're obviously aware of the problem of making it a shit show. They've been so careful about curation that I would assume that they have a plan in place. I just hope that what I'm hoping is that they just keep, they don't go full bore, and the fact that they just keep the storefront split.
No, I agree with that.
Have a new release tab for App Lab and a new release tab for the main store. Try to keep the world separate on the same storefront, so there's some kind of division there. And I feel like a lot of your problems.
I agree. And then they can just put a little vote in there. Like, should this game be in the main store? Vote.
Oh man. The trolls would have a heyday with that. they'd go and just downvote the shit out of some game they didn't like for some reason, because some person didn't use the right pronoun and it just gets downvoted into App Lab obscurity.
Or these bot accounts are doing the exact opposite, just upvoting the hell out of these garbage games.
Totally right. No, oh God, don't do that. Well, we're at our 90-minute mark. I don't really want to talk to you anymore.
Good. I'm sick of you too, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We should thank our people.
We should thank our people. Hey, guys, thanks for chilling with us. Thanks for staying a part of the conversation. Always. Any super chats, subscribers to the channel are always very much welcomed and thanked. But just being here, just listening to us shoot the shit about VR. Always awesome. I promise I will make a pledge to the people who watch this. I will make a real push to try to start playing more VR games.
You need to. At some point in time, I'm going to have to actually check you as well. So,
well, once my classes get started here, I'm hoping that I can get into a little bit of a routine here, because I really need to catch up. There's some games that I wish we had covered that we haven't covered, even on the PSVR side of things as well. End of the month, though, WRC VR, aka Dirt Rally 3. Pretty pumped. I might never leave my racing rig.
I have no idea what's next for me. Madison, I guess, is the big one. May 3rd, Madison got announced finally. So
yes, that finally
got the next big one I cover. But that's like a week away. Jeez, that's fast. My God, it is a week away. Oh my God, I got to top of Madison.
Yeah, that'll be another good one. And something else. I don't know.
I'll have to look at the May release schedule and see what's going on here.
Is this something you're actually doing?
Not right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, okay, I was waiting for you.
No, but I will say, I guess besides that, once again, guys, if you do care about this channel, please check out my Astro review that just got posted today. It's kind of a different format than we typically do, more of a streamlined review just in regards to not being scripted. Let me know what you think, what you like, what you don't like. I'd love to hear feedback on that. Outside of that, I'll thank everybody once again. We love you. Thank you for your support. Patrons, YouTubers, you guys in chat, everyone who just watches this stuff or listens to this podcast, we love you.
And don't forget to like the video. We never ask people to like the videos. We used to always ask people to like the videos.
For God's sakes, please like the videos.
Please, God.
Please, we need it so bad.
Ryan will come to your house and suck your dick.
All right, there we're done. Hopefully YouTube can catch that. You suck. You're the worst. Say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris.